Jesus was a master teacher, and one of his favorite teaching tools was the use of metaphors. In just a few words, Jesus could create a picture that would provide such deep meaning with significant implications. Early on in his ministry, Jesus told his disciples they were to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. They were like a city on a hill that could not be hidden. These were all metaphors that helped his disciples figure out who they were and what they were being called to do. Toward the end of his life, knowing that he didn't have a lot of time left with his disciples, he instructed them. He used this one metaphor to remind them of this incredibly important spiritual decision. In John chapter 15, Jesus said to his followers, he said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." And he said, "If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." Basically, Jesus was saying to his disciples, "Be the branch." With this metaphor, Jesus was clearly saying, "Stay connected to me. I'll be the vine, you be the branch." Cross City, I want to tell you today, be the branch. This is who we are, and staying connected to Christ is what we do.
Good morning, Cross City. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for those watching online. We are honored to have you here. We've had a great weekend so far. A lot of you don't know this. Some of you have been around a long time. You may know it. I was once a world-class athlete. And I could do it all. And, you know, I really have studied sports. You're laughing a little too hard. A little laughter's okay. That was a little, no. He's seen me play basketball. But when I was younger, I was a pretty decent athlete. But they have what they call today, they call them sports psychologists. And what they do today, they are involved with a lot of athletes. They drill into their mind a phrase, a line, a sentence, a few words, a metaphor, a mantra, and they say it over and over again to themselves, and so it will prevent them from doing something else. A quarterback may have a flaw in his take back or his pass, and so they will develop a mantra to help him do the right thing. A golfer does it all the time. I heard an announcer saying just yesterday that this particular golfer, I think it was Shoffley, he was going from the green to the next tee, and he says every step he takes, he repeats a line in his head. He's not talking to anybody, a caddy, anybody. He's saying this line over and over and over again. And teams do it. They develop these sentences, these lines. As high school teams get into the playoffs, they'll put a phrase on a t-shirt. The Golden State Warriors have a phrase. It's called strength in numbers. They have it on their t-shirts. They have it everywhere. Of course, their record is 9-31. Unless they play today, it'd be 9-32. But at 9-31, strength in numbers. That's their big phrase. And who really cares, though, because the Niners are back, right? And the Cowboys got a new coach. So next year, NFC Championship, I believe it's going to be the Niners and the Cowboys. And the Cowboys are going to go on and win the Super Bowl. And that strength in numbers. Our record will probably be 9-31 over the next 40 games. I don't know. Anyway, the thing that I think is important is when we develop as a church, we need a phrase. We need a sentence or two. We need a line that we keep telling ourselves over and over and over again. When the crisis comes, when we hit the wall, when we can't go another step, we say this to ourselves so it will inspire us. I heard a runner, a world-class runner, who was given this line, and he says this to himself every big race. He needs to inspire himself when he hits the wall, when he's feeling distracted or anything else. And the line is this: the finish line is closer than you think. And he just keeps repeating it the whole race. The finish line is closer than you think. And I think that's a pretty good line for all of us, by the way, because the finish line is a lot closer than we think. That's just how it works. I've noticed that some of these big fancy companies, they have lines, they have phrases, metaphors that they use. And some churches also do. Sometimes they kind of blend in together. And I don't really like that, because the church is not a Fortune 500 company. The church, I don't believe, should use business's best practices lines for themselves. We want our values, our core principles, our sentences, our metaphors, our mantras to come from the Bible. We want them to come from the Gospels. And so we have, if you have your notes, and I hope you do, they're in your bulletin. I got seven things I want you to write down. So I hope you have a big fat crayon, because we have a lot of writing to do. Number one, and these are, first two are going to be really quick. The first one is our vision statement, which is love God, love others, and serve the world. We put that on a lot of things. We repeat that a lot. I feel like I say it all the time, and I have church members tell me, I've never heard that. So we need to keep drilling this over and over and over again. This needs to be our great metaphor. Love God, love others, serve the world. That should be our sentence. That should be our mantra. Our vision statement is that. Our mission statement is make more and better disciples. We put that on a lot of things. Make more and better disciples. I could break that down a lot further, but I just want to say it. I want you to say it. I want you to write it down. I want you to say it to yourself this week. I have one for myself that I use a lot. I use it a lot in this pulpit. I want to increase heaven's borders. You see, my time is coming to an end. I try to draw this picture for you many times. We're all on the stage of life. And I don't know where the end is, but it's getting pretty close. And the finish line is a lot closer than you think. And so when I'm done, I hope that people can say, he increased heaven's borders. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to be about. I want to get people in there. That's kind of my purpose in my life. But these statements, these sentences, they should not only work for our church family, it should work for your personal home family. It ought to change the way things are going under your roof. If you will adopt these things that come from the Bible, it will affect your relationships. It will affect your marriage. It will affect your relationship with your kids, because they're rooted in Scripture. And over the next few weeks, we're going to go over these different sayings, and I hope that they will mean something to you. In John chapter 15, if you have your Bibles, we're going to just kind of jump around a few verses there. But as we found out in the video, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he's using this metaphor to say, here's who you are. Okay? Some of you, you may not know for sure, and I want you to leave here today knowing who you are. Here's what he's telling you. You are the branch. You are the branch. That's interesting to me that he said this to his disciples when he was running out of time. He wasn't going to be with them a long time. He could have said, guys, we don't have a lot of time left, so I'm going to leave you some instructions. I want to put a list of about 100 things you guys need to get done before 100 AD. He didn't say that. He didn't say, here's a 5-year plan. I've put it all together, but I want you to execute it so we can get this gospel clear across the globe. Now, be sure to implement this when I'm gone. He didn't say that. What he says is simply, you are the branch. So number three in your notes. We're already to number three. We should have a party. Number three, Jesus doesn't get very detailed. He simply gives them a metaphor. That's what we're talking about. He just gives them a metaphor. And it's kind of interesting to me that he didn't get very detailed, because what he wanted to communicate to them was basically a principle, a phrase. Be the branch. I'm the vine, Jesus said. You're the branch. And if you understand that, then you understand who you are. And when you understand who you are, the branch, then you'll know what to do. That fifth verse says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, Jesus, and I, Jesus, remain in you, the branch, then you're going to bear fruit. No. You're going to bear, listen, much fruit. Much fruit. It's not going to be a question, am I in the vine? Am I not in the vine? Am I just working? Am I really a branch? No, if you're a branch and you're connected, you will bear much fruit. And this last line's a little shocking. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. So as a church, I think we need to adopt these phrases, these mission statements, these vision statements. We sometimes get caught up in what we do. We do a lot of stuff around here. Our church is busy. I've never been in a church busy every day, every evening. We've got things going on. We do just so many things. And when we finish doing one thing, we start another thing, and we're always worried about what the next things we're going to do. Listen, the important thing is not what we do. It's who we are. So number four, shock yourself. Most importantly, the most important quality there is who we are. Not what we do, but who we are. So we're starting with this metaphor of be the branch. Not go do these things. Just be the branch. When you try to take your faith, and a lot of people do this. Oh, I'm a Christian now. I believe in God. So I'm going to turn this faith into a list of things that I have to do that rarely works. What you need to do is be the branch. Be the branch. It begins with the word be, not do. And when you know who you are, you'll figure out what to do. Behavior flows from identity. Church, we need to write this down. We need to say this to ourselves. Be the branch over and over again. And when you're connected to the vine, he's going to produce the fruit. When I was at Ozark Christian College, again, world-class athlete, I started basketball as a freshman. Gigantic school of nearly 700 students. Half of them were girls. But I had a metaphor, and it wasn't be the branch. It was be like Mike. It was the 80s. My senior year, Michael Jordan played my Boston Celtics, and I loved the Celtics. And man, I love the Celtics. And it was in the Boston Garden. Michael Jordan scored 63 points. I had a parsonage. I and this is crazy, but I was at college, but I had a church, so they had a parsonage, so I had a dorm room and a parsonage. I'd go out to the dorm, and I bought this color TV. It was about that big, really fancy for the 80s, and I would get real close to it, and I'd be about this far from it. So it was like a big flat screen for me, and I had cable out there in Alba, Missouri, and it had like, we had 13 channels, and one of them was, the basketball game was on. It was TBS or something, man. It was unbelievable, and so I'm sitting this close, and I see this guy drop 63 on my Celtics. Now, the Celtics swept them that round, and 2 years in a row, they swept them out of the first round playoff. But I knew when I was watching him, this guy's better than Larry. This guy's better than anybody that's ever stepped on the court. And I wanted to be like him. And then a little later, that commercial, that Gatorade thing came out. I want to be like Mike. I was like, yeah. Yeah, I do. And so I did. I would stick my tongue out and go to the gym. I would jump real high, try to touch the bottom of the net. I want to be like Mike. The, the problem is, that's what I wanted my identity to be that, but there was no power or strength behind it. And the closest I've ever come to being like Mike is when I bought these shoes for Christmas. I got some Jordans for Christmas. Yeah. I can fly. I still tick my tongue out. So the Bible tells us, be the branch. Don't be like Mike. Be the branch. And when we figure out who we are, listen, we're not powered, some of us think this, by our own determination, by self-motivational talk. That's not what I'm talking about in these metaphors. We're not driven by our own giftedness or our own talents. The fruit comes only from being connected to the vine. You be the branch, let him be the vine. You just stay connected. He's going to do whatever he needs to do in you and through you. All right? Number five, fruitfulness only occurs when you are connected to the vine. This changes everything. Fruitfulness only occurs when you're connected to the vine. This is something that I have struggled with many years of my life. I think sometimes our church struggles with this because we're really into production. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying production should come as a result of connection. And when we emphasize production, we lose connection. It should be connection and then production. When we get that right, he's going to do something in you. When you're worried about the production, they used to say something about in athletics, again, sports psychology. Again, I know all this stuff from about the seventh grade. It's not about the result. It's about the process. If you work on the process, the results will come. If you work on the connection, the production will come. But if your focus is on the production, you have lost complete connection. We have a course over here we just started, and I'd encourage any of you, all of you, to get involved. It's called Regen. It's a new thing we're doing here. And we had there were some people that went through it already, and they were having their final course over here Monday night. I went over. They had about 12, 13 people on the stage. Each one of them went up to the podium and gave a little brief speech. And we're kind of opting out of the CR, Celebrate Recovery, and we're starting something different called Regen. It's a little more involved in discipleship than CR. So we really like it. We think it's going to be really good for our church. But each of these people got up, and I want to tell you, they were so transparent about what they had done, how they messed up. But by going through the course, they've identified through the Word of God things that the Lord can step in and help them in these areas. And each of them said, I am a new creature. I am a new person in Christ. And then they asked me to get up and close the thing, and I was so overwhelmed with emotion. I knew about half the people up there. And I could, not only was I a little stunned at what they were saying, but I was also related very heavily to each of them. A lot of you think, well, you're the preacher. You don't have any real struggles, do you, bro? Yeah, I do. I do. It's just, you know, when I started preaching when I was 18, and they all said, well, it gets easier as you go along. I prep more now than I ever have. I work harder than I ever have, and I put a lot of self-pressurization. I walk out here and I'm trying to act very calm and cool and casual and collected. Folks, it's all an act. I'm acting. I'm acting. I'm telling you. I don't want to go to that regen class, but I'm telling you, I'm just acting. I've never been a pastor of a church this size. I don't know what I'm doing. I really don't. Because when you put all this on yourself, you're trying to lead this many people. My staff, I was in the green room just between services, and there was about 25 people in the green room. I said, this is bigger than the first two churches that I ever preached at. I'm telling you, when you put this on you, it is such a weight that it's very difficult to deal with. The stress, it's... Who's... Somebody yelling at me? You're causing more stress. When I try to put myself in this spot as the lead pastor of Cross City Church, I'm telling you, I stop being the branch. And I try to be the vine. Not divine, the vine. Where I've got to come up with this stuff. I've got to supply the nutrients. I've got to do all this so we can all feed, so we can all grow, so we can all bear fruit. And I think some of you do that in your own life. You put all the pressure on yourself. You have anxiety and stress because you're going to carry the weight. You're going to provide. You're going to prove to the world that you're what you are. But friend, that's not how it works. You can't be the vine. You got to be the branch. If you try to be the vine, it'll wear you out. Being the vine will create all kinds of added pressure, stress, and anxiety. It will affect every relationship that you have. You're not called to be the vine. You're called to be the branch. And when we confuse this metaphor, it creates all kinds of problems. You start to feel pride. I fall into that from time to time. Look what we've done. Look what I've produced. It's so easy to do that, but it doesn't work that way. And here we are. I feel so blessed. We are in the year 2020. Does that sound unbelievable to some of you? I mean, to me, I still can't wrap my mind around it. There's a show on ABC called 2020. We have an eye doctor here today, and he sat me down and said, "You have 2020." No, it's more like 1580. I don't know what it was, but it was bad. But 2020, we're in the year 2020. I remember when I was in the sixth grade, my uncle was visiting us. He rarely visited us. He's my dad's younger brother. He was 35 years of age. And we were trying to figure out, this was in the 70s, we were trying to figure out how old I would be in the year 2000. And we figured it out. I would be 35, the same age as my uncle. And I'm really bad at numbers. It took me about a week to figure it out. But I would be 35 in the year 2000. And I thought, that will never happen. That's unbelievable. No way will I ever be as old as my 35-year-old uncle. Now I'm double nickels, and we're in the year 2020. I don't know where the Lord's taking us. But He needs to be the one that does the taking, that does the providing, that gives the nutrients, that grows the fruit. You need to be the branch. I'm thinking of Moses, who leading the Israelites through the desert for years, and he prayed a big prayer. And that's I wish you'd write that down. Pray a big prayer. I want you guys to all pray a big prayer today. I don't know what about, but pray a big one. He said, "God, these people are thirsty. I'm kind of tired of them. And they need water." And God said to Moses, you remember what he said? He said, "I want you to go over there and I want you to speak to the rock." So Moses, the mild-mannered Moses, went over with his staff, a stick, and he whacked the rock. And he said to those folks, you remember what he said? He said, "Must we bring water out of this rock. You know what God said to him after that? He said, Moses, you're not going into the Holy Land. You haven't lived like, you're not honoring me with your life. I'm a holy God, and you're not treating me that way. You're not going into this promised land. He was the one leading all these people, and he's not going to get to go in. Is it because he lost his temper and whacked the rock, or was it because when he spoke out of frustration, he said, hey, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock? I want to tell you something. There is no we. People ask me about Cross City, how'd you get here? I said, well, we did this several years ago, and then we built this, and then we decided to go here. That didn't work, but we did this. And then I go home and I think, oh, you're not very smart. There is no we. He's the provider. He's the one that grows the fruit. You're a branch, and 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 I'm a branch. That's all I am. And when you get to that point, I want to tell you, the pressure is gone. That's when you start finding joy. It's not up to you. It's up to him. It's up to him. And yet we put all this on ourselves. We think we're going to fix what we broke. We can't fix it. Only he can fix it. Only he can clean up our mess. He's the only one. Where there is no way, ask Moses, he can make a way. But there's no we. And he says in that number 6, by the way, in your outline, he says in verse 1 of chapter 15, I am the true vine. He starts that chapter out. I am the true vine. You know what he's saying, basically? There are some fake vines out there. There are some imitation vines. And some of you have latched onto those imitation vines in business, success, in religion. And they may provide a little joy or a little pleasure for a while. But eventually you realize, this isn't a real vine. This isn't providing what I need. The only thing that can provide what you need is the Lord himself. He is not a fake vine. He is not an imitation vine. I am the true vine. And some of us turn to those around us and we want them to be our true vine. We want our wife to be our true vine. She's going to provide everything I need. She's going to give me this and this and this. And then I'll have strength and joy and peace the rest of my life. And my husband's going to provide all this for me. And then when something goes wrong, we turn to them and we go, this isn't working. You're not providing all the stuff that I need. You're not giving me the strength and the power and the joy. Because you know what you're worried about? You're worried more about production than you are connection. Sometimes we turn our children into the vine. We want to follow them around everywhere. We're gonna live in their glory and everything's going to be great. Man, they're going to be gone like that. What a mistake. They're not the vine. And most of us, we try to be the vine for our spouse, for our family. We're going to be the ones that provide. I'm going to go get a good job. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to find all your strength and joy and peace and happiness in me. You try to be the vine. It doesn't really work that well if that's your goal. Jesus said, I am the true vine. There's a lot of fake vines out there. Stay connected to me. Verse 11, he says, I told you this, that my joy would be in you and that your joy may be complete. Whatever you need to find in life, I want to tell you, you can find it in him. He has it all. You got one job. Stay connected to the true, genuine vine, Jesus Christ. My wife, years ago, she tried to, for years, she would cook breakfast for me and my boys when they were younger, little, and she would make this, she'd cook turkey bacon, and she would call it bacon, but it's turkey bacon, and And I just read in Leviticus a little while ago, that's some sort of abomination unto God. No turkey and pig should ever... You want to read it? I'm not making this stuff up. I didn't really want it, but I think she was doing it. Maybe it was healthier for us or something. I'm not real sure. But really, it wasn't very good. And it's kind of like having broccoli donuts. Have you ever had that? At some point, it's not a donut. It's just broccoli in a circle. And so she kept making this turkey bacon, and I learned to accept it over the years. And except every time I'd go to a hotel, I'd go down and order bacon, man. And I was like, yeah, it has some extra bacon. I loved it. But my boys were getting a little older, and I realized they were becoming young men, and so I felt like I needed to sit them down. I really felt like a failure as a father, and I wanted to correct this. So I sat them down. I said, boys, we need to talk about something. And they were like, what? And I was like, well, your mom has been telling you that turkey bacon is bacon, and it's not. And they didn't know what. I go, yeah. So I introduced them to real bacon, and it changed their lives. And I told them, this is bacon, and I'm telling you this so that your joy may be complete. And it really has changed everything because it's real. And that's really what the Lord is telling us. Connect to me because I am the true vine. Verse 6, he says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away. Are you listening? I read it fast. If you do not remain in me, he says over and over, I remain in you, you remain in me. Stay connected. If you don't stay connected, you're like a useless branch that withers and you're gathered up. And you're thrown into the burn pile. You know what you call a branch that is not connected to a vine? It's simply a stick. You're just a stick if you're not connected to the vine. You want that to be the great metaphor of your life? I'm the stick. I'm the stick. No, he says be the branch. It's totally different. You don't want to be gathered up and thrown into the burn pile. Don't be the stick. I brought up here with me, it's hard to move in these heavy Jordans. a stick. I got this at Hobby Lobby. Cost me like $12. It's post-Christmas sale. And I don't even know if it's, I think it's a real stick. I'm not sure. It feels fake, but maybe it is a real stick. And then it grew over the week. It grew some fruit on it. This is an orange, a peach. This is turkey bacon. This is grapes. No, actually, I just tied this. And this isn't real. This is fake. This is totally, it's totally fake. It's plastic. But maybe it looks good to you from where you're seated, especially if you're in the balcony. That probably looks good. You're probably getting ready for lunch. That's probably tempting and tasty and everything else. Let me just tell you, if you came up here and you got real close, you'd say, oh, that's a Hobby Lobby stick with some fake fruit tied to it. And if you took a bite of this stuff, you'd know in a second it completely, completely fake. It really isn't genuine, it isn't real, it isn't true. And you say, why would you show us that? Because I got to be honest with you, I don't want to become that. And I sometimes wonder if this is what we've settled for in our lives, in our church. Are we trying to pass ourselves off as real branches that bear real fruit? Or are we just sticks with some fake fruit tied to it? From a distance, we look pretty good. Oh, yeah, look at those crosses. But are we really a church family? Are we really producing fruit? Is it real? Is it genuine? I just pray that we don't become a church that's filled with a bunch of sticks with plastic fruit tied to it. You say, what kind of church does that look like? Well, it's the kind of church where everybody comes and they sure look good, but they don't really know how to deal with the mess in their life, like we did Monday night in the Regen class, where people were dealing with the real mess and they're just sharing what's gone on, what's going on, and where they hope is going to happen in the near future. That kind of plastic fruit tied to a stick church looks like a church that has great facilities, but maybe it's not a loving family. Draws big crowds, but it doesn't have a lot of committed followers. It's a church that's really interested in how we can give the minimum rather than embracing the challenge of true generosity. It's a church that's interested in big events rather than radical love. It's a church that's known for power plays rather than humble service. It's a church that's more interested in flashiness rather than faithfulness. It's a church that's more interested in how many people can we seat rather than how many people can we send. And I pray that we are the real deal. And number seven, finally, I was reading about this. I didn't know much about it. I had heard it, but I didn't really know much about it. There's a thing called a sucker branch on these vines. And friend, I got to tell you, you need to watch out for the sucker branch. Beware of the sucker branch. You say, what is a sucker branch, preacher, and what does it really do? Well, I hate to answer it this way, but basically it sucks. You say, that wasn't appropriate. Yeah, that's really all it does. It just sucks the life out of the plant. It sucks the nutrients. It sucks the energy. It sucks life from the vine. And so the branches, at a point, they'll not be able to bear fruit because there are too many sucker branches. And when you get too many sucker branches on a plant or a tree, the plant will die. And it can happen in a church. We need to ask ourselves, am I a branch bearing fruit, or am I a sucker branch? I just like to show up. I like to get. I like to be seen. But am I sharing? Am I giving? Am I involved? Am I loving on other people? Am I serving? As we enter this year, this new decade, there's so many opportunities we're going to have at Cross City. And I want to tell you, we're going to be better than okay. We're going to be better than all right. We're going to be wonderful. We're going to be great if we'll just be the branch, if we'll just stay connected to Him. Let Him provide all that He needs to provide, and we'll bear fruit. You say, preacher, can you tell us what it looks like? I got a couple things I'd like to throw at you before we close quickly. One of the ways this looks like is when we try to do something that we know in ourselves we couldn't do on our own. In other words, we step out a little bit in faith and we do something that we know if we did it all by ourselves, we would completely fail. But if God is in it, it's got a chance to happen. I wish you'd sign up for that in your life. I wish we'd sign up for that in our church. I'm telling you, in the next 5-10 years, if the Lord is willing and we stay connected, we're going to step out and do some things that we know we will not be able to do on our own if He's not in it. But if He's in it, like some of the stuff He's already done around here, we'll know we're connected to the real, true vine. Maybe one of the ways you know you're a real branch, like I was saying about that class, you get to a point where things are not going the way you thought they were going to go, and you get to a point, but if you're a branch, you're going to get to a point where you actually say, I need help. A stick won't say that. A stick will say, look at this beautiful orange I have here tied to the end of this. But a branch will say, I'm broken. I need help. I need assistance. I need prayer. I need to get in a circle of people that care. those are a couple of the telltale signs of whether or not you are actually a fruit-bearing branch connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God has been so good to us. I know the Bible says in Luke, to whom much is given, much is required. And I'm telling you, much is required of us because He has given so much. He has been so good. And I want you to join me in saying this phrase to yourself over and over again. I don't want to be a stick. I don't want to have plastic fruit tied to the end of me. I want to be a branch that's bearing fruit. Verse 7, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, listen to this, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. He's not saying I'm the great genie of all genies. What he's saying is when you're connected, you can pray that big prayer and have full expectation that he may just come in and answer that prayer. But you got to stay connected. I want to give you three quick applications, and it won't take, seriously, 2 minutes. Number one, if you're connected to the vine, what does that look like? I think it looks like this. It means you stay connected to the church. I'll be very honest with you. I mean, if you think you're a branch, but you have no desire to be, as we talked about in Hebrews, and we're not done talking about, you don't want to forsake the assembly of with the other believers, as some are in the habit of doing. If you're a branch, you're going to want to be with your other family members. If you're a stick, you have no time for the church. Come on, come on. What a waste. Stay connected to the church. My dad used to do that 52-week club thing, you know, try to get you to be in some church, some place, every weekend of the year. I don't mind throwing that challenge out there at you. Stay connected to the vine. Another way to stay connected to the vine is to stay connected in a group. In your bulletin, I'm not going to take any time. We have a list of different groups you could be a part of. We have groups that meet every day. We have groups that for every age. You can be a part of a group, and you need to be a part of a group because it's in that group you can be a little more vulnerable. You can be a little more real. You can be a little more transparent. And somebody was asking me about it today, and I said, it's not easy. It's not easy. But it's one of the great ways you stay connected. And if you can do those first two things, you can do the third thing, and that is simply just stay connected to Jesus Christ. Brent preached a wonderful message last week about Jesus is the only way. He's our only answer. He's our only hope. He is the truth and the life and all of that stuff. And I want to just remind you that if you've not yet made that decision to make Him the Lord of your life, if you've not made that decision to accept, listen to this, the free gift of salvation. If you haven't repented of your sin, if you're not real enough to say, you know what? I can't get there on my own. I need that vine. I need those nutrients. I need that fruit-bearing energy because I can't do this on my own. If you haven't made that decision, I want to encourage you to make that decision. Jesus wants to graft you into the vine so that you will become a branch. And that branch will bear fruit. So if you need to commit or recommit, connect or reconnect, this is your opportunity. This is your chance. Folks, we can get everything else right. Everything. But if you get this wrong and you don't get grafted into the vine, you don't get connected to the vine, it's just going to be a plastic stick. It's not going to work. You want joy, you want strength, you want power, you want all that stuff. It's all in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Do you love Him? Do you follow Him? Do you trust Him? We're going to stand, we're going to sing. If you have a decision, step down to the front as we sing.